Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Welcome back to Star Wars Minute, the daily podcast where we analyze, scrutinize, and celebrate the Star Wars movies 1 minute at a time. I'm Pete the Retailer from PeteTheRetailer.com.
I'm Alex Robinson from ComicBookAlex.com.
This is Craven Morehouse from the YouTube channel Arlnauts.
And this is Zach Kuntz, also from Arlnauts.
Thanks, guys. Yeah. You're our new guests for this this season. It's a whole new era of Star Wars, whole new era of Star Wars Minute, hopefully, and new guests.
That's right.
We were just talking in the green room briefly that we've mentioned you before. I know Alex is a fan, and Jordan White and a couple of other people have mentioned you, and it's only natural that our paths cross ways. No. Anyway.
No, great. Thank you for having us. We don't normally do anything that has anything to do with Star Wars, so this is like a nice opportunity for us to refresh coming here. And, yeah, exactly.
Because, you know, you're not one-dimensional. You guys have other opinions and ideas about stuff.
Listen, if Kylo Ren was a real person, we'd owe him, like, a royalty check at this point.
Well, speaking of which, we're not quite at Kylo Ren, but we're getting there. We're in minute six of Star Wars Episode 7, The Force Awakens. Minute six starts with stormtroopers holding Ilko Munica at gunpoint, and it ends with a stormtrooper freaking out. Just kind of having some problems.
One thing I like about what they've done in this movie is this is the first time we actually see the Empire menacing regular people. Because in all through the other trilogies, like you only hear about how bad the Empire is, but you never actually see any of the... So this is you actually see them roughing people up and trashing a village and stuff.
Yeah, so. And it's a brutal trashing.
Oh, yeah.
Almost, they're going so hard that it almost seems like they weren't even... looking for anything, you know. It's kind of like Han Solo from the original. He's like, they didn't even ask me any questions. It's they're just, you see him right away, they're throwing people to the ground, setting things on fire, and they don't ask questions.
Well, they must get so like psyched up and on like speed and you know, like they're all ready to go with it, you know.
They're injecting stim packs before they hit the ground.
Death sticks.
But of course that guy has a name too. Was it Ilko? Is that what you said his name was?
I'm embarrassed to say I don't know who that character is.
You should be proud of that. Don't be embarrassed about that.
He has 0.5 seconds of screen time.
Right.
He probably has an action figure.
But of course, Max von Sydow is amazing in anything that he does.
He has a name. We were talking about this last week. I don't know if you guys know, but a lot of the characters in the new Disney canon, in the new Disney movies, and specifically like members of this one race, all of their names are Beastie Boys references.
Oh, that is a very J.J. Abrams thing to do.
Yeah, this is Ilko Munica.
Okay.
Ill communication. Yeah. Oh, I almost wish I didn't know that.
Yeah. No, it's better that you know. Oh. It's better that you know the truth.
Is that good? Can you do that with like Public Enemy, like fear of a black planet, like fear black planeto or something like that?
Right. It does set a bad precedent that like every director now is going to work in his Michael Bolton references and whatever.
Motley Crue, like Dr. Feelgood.
Yeah, we're going to get like the fish fan director, and it's all going to be like that, you know, references to some obscure kind of, you know, 27-minute version of some song that they played once. And
mm-hmm. We're going to have Kathleen Kennedy and Pablo Hidalgo are going to have to start screening directions. Like, what's your favorite band of all time? They're like, that's not going to work for the Star Wars right. universe. I'm sorry. Maybe that's why the solo guys got fired. Yeah, they just had lousy taste in music.
Can't do much with Herb Alpert. We got to...
I was going to say that the moment there, to me, that is so... I think pivotal and important is, of course, the Finn moment, right, where his friend goes down. Mm-hmm, but to me, it's like that moment. We're all going to definitely talk about that. Mm-hmm. but that moment for me is like, it's sort of Pandora's box for me, and I don't know that they quite were prepared to deliver on the promise that they were setting up there. Now, I love that moment, and the first time I saw that in the theater, I was blown away. You know, we go in with expectations, knowing what we know from the trailers and knowing what we know from the general idea that Finn is going to be a character, but you don't know exactly what the basis of that is. But the thing that I'm not sure about is, do we look at the stormtroopers as a whole as these cold, calculating people that are like automatons, or are friendships like that common? And what does it mean that Finn would be so moved by that moment with what looks like a friend and then be willing to like blow them away without even a consideration from this ship when he's like escaping.
Yeah.
So it's a little bit of a thing. I'm not sure that the idea of Finn being something different from a stormtrooper really panned out. I love his character and I love what he does, but it looks like they're saying something there that I don't know quite was developed in any way. He just seems like a good guy and he's the only guy.
Yeah. Right. And the rest of the stormtroopers are without a doubt all scumbags that burn right. people.
But the one good guy had a friend. Yeah. So the good guy had a friend who we can assume that potentially he might have been an okay guy.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, and so we were talking a little bit last week about how it's weird that, you know, the original stormtroopers were just so in a genius way, it was like they were faceless, kind of, you know, like even when we were kids, there's debate about are they robots?
Yeah, they were like Cylons, basically. Yeah. They were there to get mowed down.
Right.
Yeah.
And then, you know, they went that much further in the prequels. It's like robots and then clones that it's like, well, you know, like it's all like literally the same face and interchangeable, you know, whatever.
Right.
Right.
There's more where that came from. Don't have to sweat that loss.
Exactly. Yeah. But then to do this and then have it be like, because I think the backstory is that they're you know, kind of groomed and kind of abducted more or less when they're kids and then trained into this program. So it's like child soldiers. Now we're like, do we feel a little bit conflicted about those?
Are they all like unwitting subjects to this? Because now it's like, is Finn breaking some kind of programming that these other guys are incapable of breaking or haven't yet or could potentially?
Yeah.
But yeah, you're right.
Someone could make a Star Wars movie about that.
the rebellion within the Empire. Outside. Yeah. It's a really cool moment. And visually, you know, the blood across the white mask looks really cool. But I also just watched Face Off recently, and I just can't not see the hand waterfall that the John Travolta's family was always doing to each other. That's like how they knew who the real Travolta was.
So you're saying it's John Travolta?
Yeah, that's John Travolta going down and passing on. He's like, I'm glad we stopped Nicolas Cage before this moment. But it's like just a weird symbol of like intimacy or endearment, you know, that.
Right.
May or may not have come directly from John Woo's face off.
It's also the first time we very rarely see blood in Star Wars.
Yeah.
I think other than Walrus Man, I can't think of a single, and maybe the Wampa. I can't think of any blood.
Walrus Man. You mean, is it Panda Baba?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Alex is a racist.
He'll always be Walrus Man to me.
Walrus Man. And it's really funny you say that because it's Finn actually seems like he sees it too, and he flinches like physically when it's on his visor, like he's being, that's what kind of knocked him out of his stupor, and he's kind of stumbling around like it's kind of rocked him physically, you know.
I think this whole sequence with Finn I think is really well done, and I think it shows how there's a bunch of the characters, like Rey, the first time we see her, I think she doesn't speak for a way, and that was a Finn too, and
yeah
I mean, especially since you can't see his face, it's amazing that they could get characterization and you kind of can know what he's thinking, even though you can't see his face and he's not talking.
Yeah.
Within like, I don't know if that's where the minute ended exactly, but it's immediate apparent without any words or seeing his face that there's conflict, but this is also very clearly the first, he's in over his head for the first time. He's
right
on the ground and seeing his whatever training he went through before that hasn't prepared him for.
He was a janitor.
Yeah, he was a janitor. There's, and that's all very obvious right away. Like, this guy doesn't belong here. Like,
And it's a good, you know, you can't see his face. So it's all just kind of body, you know, body language, music, and, you know, editing, I guess. Like, it's all a bunch of different. It's one thing that we were talking about, that this movie uses a lot of tools effectively. So, like, like the effects, they're using a bunch of different kind of eras of effects too together. So they're doing a lot of practical, then mixing in some CG and some, you know, a lot of computer aided stuff. So it's like they're just using all the tools they can to do the best they can. And then this, I think, not being, this references a lot of Star Wars stuff kind of in the language of the, you know, film, like the shots and the, you know, camera movements a little bit, but it's also not afraid to kind of go beyond that and do new things to tell the story, which is good.
Yeah, and that, and the, another thing with that bit with Finn when he's freaking out is the sound. They kind of dim the background, lasers and explosions and stuff, and you just mostly hear him breathing, you know, panicking and
that
stuff.
Tunnel, that's also that tunnel vision that you get when you're freaking out. Yeah,
and that's something we haven't seen in Star Wars before, that kind of subjective audio.
Yeah.
That we haven't seen that or heard that before, I guess.
Speaking of mirroring previous Star Wars, this is a strong minute. We get like two strong character intros, because then we got Poe and BB-8, which does, we were talking about that earlier, like it does mirror a lot of the episode 4 interaction between Leia and R2, but it's like, but it's a little different though, because I feel like it leans on, obviously there's like, you know, the matching the beats and whatever, but there is a little bit of history that it's leaning on for us to know, to make assumptions that BB-8, we already kind of assume that he's a heroic robot with feelings, just but because of that, the history with heroes and their droids, you know, and we see that that we already know that Poe cares about BB-8. You could kind of hear it in his voice.
You know, could you not? He's so adorable.
Yeah, he's like that's his friend. We know that almost immediately. We can tell
he's a masterpiece of design, though.
Oh, totally. Yeah.
Right from the very first trailer, you know something is up with that robot. And that
kid's gonna be a star.
Yeah, it's. I mean, they definitely nailed it.
He's going places.
that was one thing that I. It was a good sign in the advertising, was that this is a droid that's cute but not annoying. There was things about like the prequels that I could tell that were like, this is trying to be cute and it's annoying and it's going to, this is going to suck. Like I could tell. So it was a good sign. I thought the way I personally responded to BB-8, I was like, all right, that's cool. That's a cool robot.
Well, also I think like R2, he's kind of like, we thought R2-D2 was cute. Now the BB-8s, you're like, oh, R2-D2, he's a dog.
Legs.
But both BB-8 and R2, not only are they cute, but that they are doing their jobs.
Yeah.
They're
following
their mission and stuff.
Right.
They're not just there to be cute.
Right.
They have roles to fulfill, and they do it to the best of their ability.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They're the best MacGuffins that anybody could have ever asked for.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait until you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe.
Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Yeah, we saw BB-8's little chest compartment that Poe tells him to put the USB drive in. Mm-hmm. And I wonder what that little thing is for normally.
It's like just like an ashtray. Yeah. It's just a hollow drawer that he has, you know. It's like, it reminded me, you know, my mom is into boxes. There's a lot of like just useless decorative boxes around the house. And they're just, hey, you could put something in there. Oh, that's kind of what that reminded me of.
Yeah, moms love little gift boxes.
Yeah, those things, little, like, you know.
Cute compartments.
Little Japanese ones. You know, yeah.
It'd be funny if he opened it up and had to like shake out a bunch of coins. Right. And, like,
it's like sewing equipment.
Yeah.
Yeah, but paper clips, safety pins.
It's a junk drawer. You know?
Yeah. Thimbles.
What was this the key for? I don't know. It doesn't matter.
Are these batteries still good? I can't. Yeah. Put them in the freezer.
Yeah, lift them up and shake them. Yeah. Like tons of stuff is falling out of them.
They do end up doing that when he was full of like casino.
Oh, that's right.
He can also shoot them like discs.
Yeah. That's from the same little thing too, right?
He has a compartment that somehow stacked the coins and then was able to shoot them out.
Yeah.
You know, like a dispenser. That's incredible. With such force. That you could kill a man.
He subdued a man. Yeah, at the very least, he brought him to unconsciousness.
That guy was going to the hospital.
He actually might have been dead.
He was on his way to the hospital anyway.
Oh,
and
okay.
Then
so it worked out great.
The coins hit him. He was like, oh.
I had already had a pre-existing condition.
Yeah, exactly.
You cured my amnesia.
Yeah. Well, speaking of design and old versions of new things. No, strike that. Reverse it. New versions of old things. The flame trooper. That's the first time that we see that, and that's a new design. That's a right.
Yeah.
It's a cool kind of add-on. And it ties into what they were talking about with, you know, taking the old and making it new. And it's a cool, like, flamethrowers are such a kind of classic kind of ground war thing that we've seen in so many, you know, war films. And
it does seem oddly low tech. It's just very dirty, you know.
Yeah.
There's no secondary function for that. You're there to burn things.
It should be like space fire, though.
Yeah,
it should be like
space fire.
Right, blue or green.
Yeah, exactly.
Or something.
It's the green flame from the Game of Thrones battle.
Although, now that you mention it, I am disappointed that we don't see somebody running around on fire like
the Burn Man outfit.
Kind of.
Yeah, you always got to get the.
That's a classic.
That was always my favorite thing. The burn guy who did the burn guy dance.
Yeah. Right,
try to see how many seconds it is before they cut the camera.
Oh,
you know,
because what is it like six? Those guys can last.
I don't know.
Because you start to suffocate eventually. Those guys.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Because it
pulls out of air. But
You know, speaking of the flame troopers, though, there's something really visceral about this opening sequence that I found really impressive on the first watch. And I think it speaks a lot to Abrams' desire to swing the pendulum really far back in the other direction from the prequels in terms of the production techniques. You know, as you were saying, Pete, that he tried so hard to bring in all of the tricks, you know, and so the first scene feels completely real. It feels like you're in a real location. It feels like, you know, there was that promise in the shot of the troopers coming through in the prequels during the Clone War final final fight in the Clone Wars.
The big Gungan Gooball battle.
Yeah, yeah, where they're like, there are troopers coming through the smoke.
Oh, yeah, that great shot.
And everybody was like, oh, my God. And it was a great shot. It was beautiful. But the impact was kind of sucked out by the idea that you're so heavily in a CG world.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's hard to latch on to something. I feel like Abrams was trying really hard to have this first sequence feel like a legitimate, you know, battle sequence where there were going to be real stakes, you know, and, you know, in a location that feels very real. You know, I think he was really laying it on pretty well there in that opening sequence. I think it was really effective. Like
that actually may be the only reason a flame trooper was there, because it's like nothing's more real than fire.
Well,
a guy on set with a torch. You're like, this is all happening. Like, look how hot it is here.
So, because it's the first time we see it, do you think there were no flame clone or stormtroopers before this, or were they just like
in different
places?
I can't remember if it was ever on screen, but did Boba or Jango Fett ever have like a torch?
Yeah, he had a flame arm.
Yeah, he had like device. A little torch. Jango Fett definitely was shooting flames.
Oh,
right?
He does. Okay,
I think
cool.
so.
He shot a flame at a
Mace
Windu who flipped off and had to take off his.
Oh, his robe,
which was on fire.
Right, right. Yeah. Up in the viewer's box.
Yeah, that was the moment in our Mortal Kombat sequence.
The Mortal Kombat sequence.
Yeah. Well, and that was the on the action figure, too. I remember they kind of sold it as that. They're like, and he's got a flamethrower. And you're like, really? Yeah. All right, if you say so.
Sometimes, yeah. Was it one of those toys that you could attach, like the spray
plastic
of flame?
Tree.
Yeah. Eventually, I mean, but the original Boba Fett, it was all just like imagination. Because you couldn't do any of it. So it was just kind of like, yeah, he does flamethrowers and I don't know.
Because, yeah, in the movie, all he did was that, like, just that rope that looked so useless that it almost looked like something the dad from Gremlins made.
Right.
There was just like this Luke was just like, what? Get this off of me.
He covered him in shaving cream.
Yeah.
And it's funny they did it to the one guy who had a blade that could cut. Like, Han Solo didn't have a blade. No one else had a blade.
Right.
You know what would have been the tight move? Like, Bolo his feet. Like, get his ankles take him off his.
That's why he will never be the bounty hunter his father was.
No. Yeah.
Although his father wasn't that good either, so it's not like...
He was okay, I guess.
He'll never be the bounty hunter that he was.
Yeah. You'll never be the bounty hunter you were 3 years ago in the other movie. And in our imagination.
Oh, no, because he's another clone, right?
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. So,
just another clone.
But yeah, the fire, it was...
Yeah, I'm picturing, now that you said that, Alex, I'm picturing the pure comedy that can be derived from a flamethrower battle droid. It would just be amazing just because they would be, you know, stumbling over each other probably and knocking into and being, you know, somebody would be using the flamethrower, one would talk to another one and be like, what? And like,
ow, ow.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. There you go. Pure comedy.
Thanks for putting that. I can't believe we're talking about the prequels.
I know. That's always happens.
Sorry.
Especially when you're watching this movie, it's hard not to because
the contrast.
Part of this was, like you're saying, they wanted to like pull you back from that.
Right.
Like, no. The originals. Like, we're talking about the originals. They needed you to sort of emotionally invest in the idea that it won't look like or feel like the prequels, but it will feel like the original. It'll feel like Star Wars again.
You know? Right. Well, so speaking of, and you mentioned this earlier, speaking of feeling like Star Wars again, I was doing some comparisons, and I'm going to keep doing this because we're in a unique place to do this. When we're watching a minute, sometimes I'll go and watch that minute of Star Wars, of the original, Star Wars, and see how they match up. And perfect match that this. So you know, Poe sticking the map in the ashtray is a perfect match. In minute six of Star Wars, it's Leia sticking the plans
into
R2.
Wow,
exact
that,
same
that.
Beat.
That almost is not cool.
Yeah.
It's like too close.
I was defending this movie, you know, and we're like, well, they're just, you know, of course they wanted to do they wanted to reference the language of it and they wanted to evoke it. And then the more I go through this with my notes, I'm like, oh, wow, that's the exact same.
It's
beats.
Almost like he just went through it and was writing the script as he watched.
Right. Yeah.
He's like, okay, I got to have somebody put something in a droid here. Okay.
I need a slot on the droid that's meant for.
Well, going forward, we'll have to look and see if he timed it with the original or with the special edition.
Yeah,
well,
I've been checking
this?
Both
I mean,
to see.
When Kylo comes walking out, is Vader walking through the door?
That's going to be a good one.
Yeah, not... Well, we'll get there.
Yeah. Sorry, I didn't mean to jump ahead. We'll save that for tomorrow, I guess.
But these... we were talking also about Poe's friend... too, and Poe's friend
Finn's friend.
Poe doesn't have any friends. He's a loner, a rebel.
Yeah.
Finn's friend, who I guess would also be named Finn because he's FN 2003. I have 2003, but I don't know what that could be. An extra zero there.
Let me guess. The Beastie Boys broke up in 2003.
Yeah, probably.
But he's he was, you know, they were friends, I guess, and they were in the same kind of squadron or whatever, and they, you know, grew up together.
Yeah.
And it's interesting that in the movie, Poe shoots him, and he dies. And then, it would be an interesting, down the road if they, you know, have this, flashback and they're talking about it, and they, they're viewing security footage or something, and Finn's like, wait a minute, you shot my friend. Like, he'd be like,
would it be
these
like
guys are all buddies now, but then he's like, wait a minute, you killed my
awkward.
Friend.
Yeah, that's the only other friend I ever knew.
Right.
Would it be like an Avengers situation when they showed Iron Man his mom and getting killed by Bucky?
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
No!
And then he flips, and then you get it.
Yeah.
But in the novelization, that's not the case. Which is interesting. Mm. So maybe it was just editing to simplify things late in the game. They were like, you know what? Let's just.
Well, who killed him then? The villagers?
It was Mrs. White in the conservatory with the lead pipe. Right?
When is someone going to stop her?
Now I'm trying to picture it. I feel like because Finn's clearly taking shots. He headshots somebody.
I think it was just random villagers were kind of fighting back in the novelization, and one of them hit the...
Who did the novelization? Do you know?
I don't. I should.
Yeah.
But I don't.
It was an ADF, Alan Dean Foster.
I don't believe so. Although that would be, if they really wanted to go for that, you know, flashback.
Yeah, that's true.
It wasn't R.A. Salvatore.
I feel like it is someone who's known for something else. We'll look it up. We'll look it up and report back tomorrow.
Right.
Also, this something about Poe is the first thing it's occurred to me that Poe is the first, like, uncomplicated hero in this, you know, he's presented as the cool guy. He's like what Luke Skywalker wanted to be,
right out of
before
the gate.
Ben Kenobi ruined his life, you know.
Yeah, he's
a suave cool guy.
He comes out of the gate hot. He's like fighting for something already. Yeah. He's
sassing
like,
back to Kylo Ren.
Yeah. He is like a Luke Skywalker Han Solo combination, which is what if you're. Going to bring it back to the prequels, but remember before when the action figures came out before the Phantom Menace, and it's like Rick Ollier, this guy must be like Han Solo and Luke Skywalker combined. He's a crazy pilot, like, and he's like it must be a main character, and it seems.
Which guy was that?
Yeah, exactly.
Who was he in the movie? Like, what?
He's the guy who explains everything. The whole city is one big planet.
Oh,
yeah. And you catch on pretty quick. Like that. Oh, he's the.
She's the princess.
Okay. I'm Rick Ollier.
We're in Star Wars.
Thanks, Rick Ollier. Rick? That was his name? It's just Rick?
Or I see. Give it that little spacey Rick. Flair.
Yeah, Space Rick. Yeah.
He's like one letter away from a disposable razor.
Yeah. I wish they had all the names be like regular names, like Jason, but it would be like, you know, J-E-Y.
That's the in the EU.
That's why I
Jason
hate the
Solo.
Oh, yeah, Jason. And it's like S-Y-N, right?
Yeah.
Jason.
Something like that, right?
Because he was conceived in sin.
Right.
Oh. That's all I had for minute six. Do you?
I'm good.
You guys?
Else? Yeah, that's great.
I mean, the scene kind of continues. Mm-hmm. We can come back and talk to it. And if you, you out there listening, do you like to wear T-shirts? Do you like to wear clothes? Do you like to drink out of mugs? Do you like to write in notebooks? All that kind of stuff. Why not go to StarWarsMinute.com/merch, and you can get some Star Wars Minute branded stuff. It's not all branded. There's also some random cool art that Alex did of Star Wars characters and random other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And all kinds of good, fun Star Wars stuff. And it's on, like we said, T-shirts, pillows, tapestries, mugs, all kinds
you
of...
You name it.
You name it. It's on there.
Except for drinking glasses.
StarWarsMinute.com/merch. Go there, get some stuff, and we'll see you back here tomorrow on a brand new Star Wars
Minute.